Did you know you were kicking in your mommy's tummy before you were born?
We were?
Yep, I just learned at school that babies move and kick before they're even born.
No wonder we're so good at soccer.
Hello, I'm Marian Kuharski, the director of Pro-Life Across America. We know that conversations about right to life have become very heated, even angry. We stay away from that political fray. We're non-political and totally educational. We don't scream or scold. Instead, we help people working through unplanned pregnancies know their options. We're here to help both mom and the baby, and we rely on people like you to help with our mission. Please call 1-800-366-7773. Check us out on Facebook, YouTube, or at prolifeacrossamerica.org.
A baby's heart is beating 18 days from conception.
Pro-Life Across America, the Billboard people.
Hello, and thank you so much for joining us for your SmackDown post show for December 13th. We got a lot to talk about. We've got Bloodline happenings, rocking with LA Knight. We've got women's matches to talk about. We've got Chelsea Green going over today. So much to get into tonight. But I am so excited, actually, for Saturday night's main event. This nostalgia throwback feel is working for me, dude. This is so much fun, and I wasn't even watching during that era. But Sean and Andrew Baydala, who I keep trolling with jokes about the Jets, are going to be doing that post-show. So go show Drew Baydala some love. He's been dealing with Aaron Rodgers. The least we could do is say nice things about him on that post-show with Sean tomorrow. But you will still have a collision post-show that's going to be Iridian and Cresta. My sister's name is Lydia, so I I'm also dyslexic and auditory dyslexic, so I cross things up a lot. But stay tuned for your collision post-show there. Alex Pulaski and I will also be doing your Saturday night's main event on Fightful Select review, so you can check that out as well. Busy week. There was a TNA special, as there is like every other week also tonight, so a huge wrestling weekend. I gotta say, these SmackDown episodes have felt a lot fresher. You can tell like we're getting to the end of the year, which is usually a dead zone, but I think we're starting to set the table for what will be Royal Rumble into WrestleMania season, Alexis.
Yeah, I'm enjoying what they're putting together and what they're giving us. If anyone didn't know, let me be the first person this year to let you know that Raw is moving to Netflix on the 6th of January.
Since when?
I don't know if you guys knew this. I think I saw maybe one small commercial today about it. They're not doing a really good job of letting people know, but
uncharacteristic,
thank God for
really.
Fightful. You're here, and we're letting you know.
Fightful? You mean the site with the most news on our free site as well at Fightful.com, but also Fightful Select with the most scoops in the biz and the most accurate scoops in the biz?
Can we
and so much happening?
Is the moist? We can, wait.
Well, it's not a moisture situation, but.
Mostest. I'm Puerto Rican. I'm sorry. At 40 years old, I'm still messing words up. I don't know what to tell you, man.
It's all right. We're going to dive in. We're going to promote Fightful Select a little bit more throughout the show. But today was also the first day that we saw an official transfer portal happening with Braun Strowman's return, which was nice to see. Let's talk about that off the top of our heads because I am glad Braun Strowman's back. I'm glad that we have the transfer portal. I think that's a cool thing to do. I don't know about squashing Carmelo Hayes. I don't know why we're kind of getting Carmelo Hayes going and then continually cutting the legs out from under him. You know what I mean? Like the fact that he lost in 90 seconds today, I think is the start of a story. So I get it. But I feel like it would be a more effective story if you didn't make him look like a chump to start. And you had a longer match here. And the story was like, man, Carmelo's good, but just not enough to overcome the returning Braun Strowman. Braun looks great. Glad he's back. Glad he is no longer injured. Glad he's healed. And he won that last Monster Standing match. That was kind of the last thing he did. So for him to come back and continue momentum is a good thing. I don't understand why we didn't get a fuller match with him and Carmelo. But like that the transfer portal is officially open, I think this is a unique way to use a device that is relatable in real sports world. What did you think about Braun's return? I feel like him working on SmackDown in a fresh program is probably a good call.
Yeah, I got to tell you, it's good having him on television. I'm really hoping he stays healthy. A person that size is not, you know, it's not easy to stay physically, you know, not injury prone, basically. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's hard. You got a lot of moving parts. This man weighs well above 300 pounds and, you know, it's hard. So I'm hoping that we have him for the long run. I'm hoping he stays healthy. I was completely forgot and oblivious to the fact that we have a portal that we can go through and be in another time zone.
Yeah,
timeline, that's how that everything, works. You know, kind of like the MCU.
It's a new dimension.
So it was kind of cool to kind of see him. Maybe he'll get some more screen time here because Raw seems kind of like jam-packed with a lot of things going on, even though they have 3 hours, you know. And let me just put this to your point with Carmelo Hayes. I don't agree with the 90-second squash, but
yeah.
My man's been running his mouth for a very long time.
And
he finally met his match with someone twice his size. So it's kind of hard to have Carmelo kind of have a bone in this fight if this monster of a man came after him. You know what I'm saying?
I agree with that. And he did say, you know, there's all this hype about who my mystery opponent's going to be, all for me to make short work of them. So I do feel like there's a comeuppance aspect to this. I agree with you on that. And I just feel like every time this guy gets going, they do something that cuts his legs out from under him. Like whether it's a lack of story or, you know, we had that best of seven and LA Knight made it basically inconsequential. So I just would have preferred if he was scrappy and cagey and was finding ways to sustain the match, but that it was just too much for him to overcome. And then the rest of that story goes underway. But I understand the credence to the story they're telling. I'm totally with you on that. But we've got some love coming in from you guys. Taylor Cannon, a 39-month member and just one of the most supportive people in the whole wide world, saying, "Hello, favorite post show and awesome hosts, Alexis and Kate. I really hope we get a Jacob Fatu solo run in 2024 because that guy rules." He is ready to break out, and I understand why they've been very slow on doing so, because it has to match the story that they're telling. Yeah. I can't imagine he will not be a massive name post-WrestleMania, SummerSlam, moving on from there. Like, there's going to be some implosion of the new bloodline. He's the breakout guy, and that's not a slight on Solo Sikoa at all. It's just that Jacob Fatu is on another level than most people. So I'm with you. I would like to see a massive 2024 run. Did you know anything about Jacob Fatu before he came to WWE? Were you familiar with the MLW stuff at all? Or
your dance skibbly-doo, I did.
Oh, okay. All right.
I would be going to Chicago on a lot of the times that I like to hang out with my cousin out there. And I would go to Cicero Stadium, where MLW was filming from, which is where I first met MJF many, many years ago, and then got smartened up to the Samoan Werewolf there when he was part of the attack team. I forgot what it was called. Him and a bunch of other people were like together just beating the crap out of everyone. I remember Jim Cornette running after him because he was doing commentary at the time for MLW. Like, there was a lot of things that were happening, and I was just like, man, this dude is a beast. So
he really is. He's
he
is an absolute force to be reckoned with, and I'm so excited that we're going to get to see him on a platform like WWE. I believe he is a properly made like TV wrestler for stuff. So I'm excited about that for sure.
Boy watches things outside of the main food group of wrestling. You know what I'm saying? Like,
important.
Very well versed.
I'm a big proponent in seeking out any form of storytelling, any art that is not always the most accessible, because I think some of the best stuff lives in corners of the world where you are not automatically tuning in. Some of the best music is 100%. Not on the middle of the radio dial. Some of the best movies are not the biggest box office successes, right? So big, big proponent in that. We got some more love coming in from you guys.
Give me the love.
Meet Norma saying hello, bruvs, in the chat, and Kalex too. Clavicle.
Yes. Drink.
It's Mama Normus's birthday today, so No wrestling during dinner, but I got a big pork chop. Well, I love that for you. Happy birthday, Mama Normus.
Yo.
All love from this side of the table.
Shout out to Mama Normus.
We acknowledge her.
Creating the meat.
Acknowledge her.
Oh, I'm sorry. I acknowledge Mama Meat.
I got very defensive about you not acknowledging.
I apologize. I was like, is she pointing at something? Hold on, or did she freeze? It's like, damn, she did good there.
No, I was just committed. I was committed to the thing.
Your intranet is doing so well right now.
Now, why would you go and curse it like that, man? Come on. The wonderful Tina chiming in here saying, sending hugs to you, Kate and Alex. Quite a solid show tonight and intrigued by Roman's challenge to Solo. Final boss appearance, perhaps. Oh. Let's dig in to that a little bit. It's only a matter of time before The Rock comes back, but it's a matter of when and where, right? And quite frankly, it's a matter of Moana 2 and the promotion that's going on with Moana 2. Like, there are all of these things going on tonight, but we do get this really great... I felt like this was a really well-done one. It was the intensity and the drama you want without it being kind of cheesy, but he basically details all the ways that he's lost. And he is a big loser, and he says that he lost the title, he lost his family, he lost the Ulafala, and he does throw out this challenge. What did you think of what we got?
I enjoyed it. I think that there's... You know, there's so much storytelling still left. It's kind of crazy. I've sometimes feel like when it comes to anything, you know, that has to do with the family, they've maybe reached its peak. And then, boom, something else comes up. And I got to give them credit for this, because I don't think we've seen this type of storytelling since the old school NWO days. NWO was like a 4-year storyline that just, they kept on adding members and taking away members and bringing in new factions, new versions of NWO. And they stuck to their guns with this. And you're getting the Bloodline or you're getting the OTC, and that is it. And then the family is still like the family aspect of it. You know, the way that they're storytelling and giving love to each other, but they still hate each other, is pretty profound. I enjoy that.
I agree. And I feel like what's interesting here, too, is they find ways to keep it fresh without just being like, okay, well, here's another cousin. Like, they brought, right, obviously, Jacob Fatu into the picture, but it hasn't been like, we have the succession of him and Tongaloa and Tama Tonga, right? But it hasn't been like, okay, well, we'll just throw Lance at you now. Sure. And we'll, yeah, there, it's really been quite focused since then, and they've managed to keep the intrigue through storytelling instead of just debuts. Sabrina, I'm sorry that things can be tough, but saying, guys, I'm so thankful to have Fightful Selected to get my mind off of everything. Thank you, Kate and Alexis, for helping get my mind off of things. Sometimes these streams can be a lifeline for me. Well, we are so thankful to have you in the chat. We're so thankful to have subscribers that support us. So the fact that we can provide some relief for you is just the best feeling in the world. That's the biggest compliment that we could possibly get. Big Robot saying, hello, favorite posto. I don't care if it's a rematch. I'm so glad Mia Yim and Chelsea Green are getting a PLE match. And Kate, how many country clubs did you visit in your outfit the other day? I agree with you so much. Mia Yim and Chelsea Green deserve to be in this spot. It's nice to see this mid-card title getting some fresh names in the mix. We had kind of talked about that the top of the picture for both the men's and the women's division tend to be dominated by the same people. Two very hardworking, I don't want to say underappreciated to this point, because I think a lot of people recognize their talent, but they're finally recognizing them for their due, like in a way that adds extra value to the show. They're being utilized to their potential. I'm very, very glad that they advanced. We're going to talk about that match too. But the thing about my outfit the other day I had on this cable knit sweater and I had these like tights on and I had like mid calf, high calf boots on. And I was like, this is a cute outfit. And then when I was out in the real world, I was like, I look like the bitchy girl from high school who is riding like a horseback riding girl. Like flaunted who just girl. Has more money than everyone and thinks she's so flaunted. Cool.
Flaunted. Tell them my internet works, bitch.
You're taunting it. You keep taunting it. It's going to go one of these times.
I drink venti lattes.
Well, that part's true. That part's true. But we also had this chat that says Stratton cashes in for the women's U.S. title.
Whoa.
Let's talk about some of our women's action on the show tonight. We do have Meechin beating Tiffany Stratton with the eat defeat. She goes for the prettiest moonsault ever ahead of that. And she kind of gets her, but they sell it like she didn't. So that came up.
Anywhere worth going is worth going in good boots, and you can find your perfect pair at Tecovas. Tecovas crafts quality Western boots for everyone, from generational ranchers and lifelong cowboys to first-time boot buyers, which is what I was up until a couple of years ago. Growing up in Kentucky, you see boots everywhere. But I never jumped into the game until I found Tecovas, and I love it. Every one of Tecovas' boots are handcrafted with over 200 meticulous steps for broken-in comfort right out of the box. Whether it's a long day or a big night, your Tecovas are built to last and impress. That's why Esquire loves them and says they're the reason we keep coming back to Tecovas. They are so comfortable. Plus, with Tecovas' best in the West guarantee, you get free returns and exchanges for 30 days. And right now, get 10% off at tecovas.com/SRS when you sign up for email and text. That's 10% off at tecovas.com/SRS. That's tecovas.com/SRS. See site for details. Tecovas. Point your toes west. Pro-life across
America, the Billboard people. How does the baby move in your tummy?
How does the baby eat?
Can the baby hear me?
How did the baby get in there?
Wow, a pregnancy can sure generate a lot of questions. But what's important is that a baby is a baby, inside and out of the womb. Not just after birth, but 9 months before, at conception.
That's right. Every baby is a miracle. Hello, my name is Marianne Kuharski. I'm the director of Pro-Life Across America. If you know someone who is pregnant or in need of alternatives or assistance, or would like to support the work of Pro-Life Across America, please visit our website at prolifeacrossamerica.org, or better yet, simply dial #250 on your cell phone and say the keyword pro-life. Pro-Life Across America is non-political and totally educational.
A baby's heart is beating 18 days from conception.
A little bit awkward, but I feel like a lot of people have been saying this, that Tiffany's going to go for that mid-card title. I still think she's cashing in on Nia. I feel like that's the way the story has gone. I felt like her losing tonight is the catalyst for her cashing in on Nia, because she couldn't achieve the other gold. So now she's going to kind of go for the big one. I think Nia Jax comes back next week and says, you're a big loser, I hate you. And we keep pushing things that way. Maybe Royal Rumble, maybe the first Raw on Netflix, you have Tiffany Stratton cashing in. But I feel like the story's still there. I've seen people saying what that chat said, though. But I don't know. What do you think is going on with Tiffany? And what did you think of the match that we got today? I thought it was a solid match.
Yeah, the match was pretty solid. The women, as I always mention, have been extremely, like, killing it on their own. I feel like their matches in the ring have outpaced any type of storytelling that they've been giving them, because they are so good in the ring that they're telling you these stories with their fights. And it's incredible, because WWE was not known for that. It was always kind of like, you know, you get your 2 to 3 minutes in the ring and everything else was just like, you know, vignettes or backstage talking to about each other or whatever the case may be. So I think the women have elevated the entire women's division, all of them, basically. I don't know if I wasn't even thinking about her using the briefcase for anything else other than to screw over Nia. And I still think like that. I don't think that they're going to ruin the U.S. title moment, because I think that's going to be a big one. We're getting two women that we have been backing all year long to have some type of movement for themselves, okay? And unfortunately, there's going to be a loser in this match. I don't know where that loser goes, right? What's next for them? But what I do know is that the two right choices were made to go forward.
That I agree with. And if I put money down right now, I would say it's probably Chelsea Green's to take. And I feel like the story will be between her and Piper. So I don't feel like you need the Tiffany Stratton cash in. But Tim McFadden coming in with some love, saying money's for wings and clavs. OG Alex is spiraling behind the paywall due to some collision spoilers that have me pissed too. But I'm excited to hear about either Chelsea or Mia getting strapped up. So yay. Yeah, either way, you can't go wrong. Either way, you can't go wrong. Both of them are great. Mia Yim, too, man. Just like her. She's just one of the most clever wrestlers I've ever seen in her ring IQ and her smarts. And her move execution is excellent, too. But I feel like she's so underrated as far as, like, her counter wrestling goes. She's so always surprising me with new ways to counter things than ever before. But let's say that you wanted to place money down on such a thing. Okay, let's just hypothetically say that you wanted to bet on wrestling. You're probably like, well, that's impossible. I can't do that. I can't bet on wrestling. But you can. And guess what, Alex? You don't have to go to the racetrack to even do it. You can just bet online at BetOnline.ag.
Whoa! You can bet on wrestling? Yeah, you can at BetOnline.ag. We've given you a bunch of underdog picks over at Fightful since we started to work with BetOnline.ag. But well before they were a partner, that's where we got our odds from for years. Whether it be major shows or your continental classics and other things like that, they always have a bunch of interesting odds for you over at BetOnline.ag. But it's not just that. Payouts in minutes, high credit card acceptance, a safe and secure environment, and they've been trusted for over 25 years. They got the earliest lines, the fastest payouts, and the ability to bet on wrestling. How cool is that? If you think you know so much about this, go put your money down. Go do it. Show the world. Please bet responsibly and only bet what you can. BetOnline.ag.
You're muted. There you go.
So aggressive in those ad reads.
So aggressive. Like, and he reminds me of the wagging inflatable arm man. When
it's like a Bailey buddy. He's out there. Yeah, but yeah.
By the way, I do want to give a piece of advice too. If you're betting, I would say to bet what you would have used if you went out on a night of the town. So like, let's say you're going to go out and you have $60 you're going to spend on food and hanging out and movies. Okay. I would say keep it to that, you know, just bet what you would spend on a night out.
We tell people to bet responsibly. Yeah, I think that's a good budget. I also would say if you want to spend money to make money, subscribe to Fightful Select, because we got some of those underdog lock picks for you back there. Not all the time, not for every pay-per-view, but we let you know. We let you know Jay White. We let you know Samoa Joe at World's End last year. We let you know a few of them.
Yeah.
Joel Pearl made me some money, man. I don't really follow TNA that closely, but Jordan Grace was so heavily favorited over Masha Slamovich, and he was like, storytelling wise, absolutely not the case. And I said, I'll throw a little bit of money on that. Threw in $25, got $175 back. That's a good day at the office, my friend.
When I go out, you know, you just spend about 50, honey. You know what I'm saying?
Well, okay.
Drop them G's, you know what I'm saying?
Okay. So we're not all money loaded, Mr. Moneybags.
By the way, I am also starting to keep my eye out open on TNA just for my own personal gains.
Oh, yeah? Okay. Yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah. Keep an eye out on TNA. I would watch it if I didn't do the ROH post show when it was on. But
word. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
People get mad at people.
By keeping my eye on it, I just, you know, I go on social media and check out what they're doing.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
There you go. Cyclops is better than Logan says. So Kate, you were dressed like one of those assholes from Sweet Valley High back in the day. Thank you for the bits. We do broadcast on Twitch if you want to send bits our way.
Shout out to Twitch viewers, baby.
Yeah. I am embarrassingly naive to Twitch. And I watch Mansoor and Mason stream whenever I can. And I'm like I'm so old, man. I'm like just getting familiar with the ecosystem.
It's all good. Just send us your big old bitties. That's what we want.
That's what I always say. Show us your bitties.
Yep. Send them our way. We'll take them. And show
them. We will take them. We will take them and we'll show them to everybody. We did have a promo before this women's match between Tiffany and Mia Yim where Nia says when she wins the title that Tiffany won't even need the briefcase anymore because she's obviously going to go out there and win it. Candice LeRae says, I'm sure you'll blow us all away. So that relationship continuing into this, that's also why I think Tiffany is still ultimately going to cash in on Nia. So I'm interested to see, because a lot of people are predicting with that mid-card title that that'll be the case. But we can also talk about Chelsea Green and Bayley, because I was delighted by this match, not just by the outcome, but it was really great to see that Chelsea won essentially clean here. I was so excited to see that they went out of their way to make her look like a viable candidate. And it wasn't Piper interfering at the ending. And it wasn't the tricks of the trade that we usually see. We do have one interference ending today, but I got to say it's so much easier to stomach when you only have one and not every match is decided by all this goofy stuff. So this was very refreshing to me. What did you think of this match? I thought Bayley and Chelsea had some really, really good chemistry. Bayley continuing to just be one of the most selfless performers in the world.
Yeah. I'm glad that it went down the way it did. There was no reason for Bayley to go after this title. I think she was the perfect opponent for Chelsea, putting Chelsea over and giving and legitimizing her as a competitor for someone who, you know, for a new title. And I do believe that the WWE should possibly take a little bit of something out of a AEW playbook with, you know, having this title be more of a like, hey, we don't need any interference or anything like that. This is how we're going to handle business with this title. You know, we're going to do things clean. We're not going to have any hokey pokey. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Like, that would be fun. I know that there's, you know, like they do that with the Pure title, with the ROH, I think it was, right? One of these titles where, like, you can't interfere, you can't do anything.
Pure title has some very specific rules around it, yeah.
Yeah, I think that would be great to kind of hold around. Like, I know the Intercontinental Championship, when I was growing up, kind of had a little bit of that mystique. You know, in the 80s, where it was kind of like, you know, it was a man's working title and you're going to go out there, and you're going to fight fair for it. And the winner's going to come. Obviously, in the 90s, things got crazy, you know, with every title. But specifically, sure. That one reminds me of just that. I think it'll be cool to kind of have that for the women.
Yeah, clean endings and workhorse titles in that mid card would be great. I think Lyra probably wins the IC title and Becky comes back for it. But I would love if it was Natalya and she got to put that on her resume that she was the first IC champion, because I feel like they owe that to her, quite frankly. I think she's done a lot of good work for this company and wasn't always rewarded for it. I think as she's getting closer to retirement, I mean, she looks like she could wrestle for another 80 years if she wanted, but I think that would be a nice legacy thing. And I also think, to your point, those titles should be treated like that, and even more so on the Raw side, because Chelsea is silly, right? She's great, but she's silly. Yeah. So I feel like that's even more important to have that kind of working title, less shenanigans-based booking on that, especially because of the Raw Women's World title has been a joke of booking.
Oh, God.
No.
I'm glad you brought it up.
No shade at Liv Morgan at all. It is not the performer behind it, but no, I mean, this title reign has been downright insulting. Like, I'll the fact what, that Dominic Mysterio is more important than the champion in that division is nauseating.
Yeah. Yeah, you mentioned someone like a Becky. I see Becky as a hardcore IC title like contender. Like, she could not chase the world title anymore. She could stay to be a, you know, lifelong like getter of the IC title. And I'd love that because it fits her perfectly. you know. And then on the other side, I don't want to jinx it. I'm going to knock on wood here, but God, if you have something like the U.S. title pop up and then, oh boy, Charlotte Flair just happens to show up.
Sure.
Because that title kind of looks like something that would be around her neck of the woods.
Of course. Of course, with the legacy that she has.
Yeah.
I think there was a rumor, I would say credible rumor, but certainly not a report by us, that Charlotte was spotted in Orlando. I think it would be.
Oh, boy.
Or at the Orlando airport, rather, if she was flying in for Saturday night's main event with her legacy for a retro event. Like, that's a fun place for her to return. So we'll see what happens. I really wanted her to be the person that took out Jade, because she had issues with everybody on that side of the War Games match. Mm-hmm. But let's talk about what we got from that side of things today, because we have just the best GM in wrestling. The one that actually enforces rules. telling Bianca that she has to vacate her title. And conveniently, Naomi is like, oh, well, I'll step in if, like, you need someone. And Bianca says, she's always had my back. That's what I want to do. And Nick Aldis, again, because he's a man of order, says, I'll run it up the flagpole. But if that gets approved, you have to be ready to defend those titles, like, as soon as next week. Like, you have to be fighting champions. And I love that he was like, you can't just have a cop out because Jade's not here anymore. Like, you're going to have to defend those. It's looking clearer and clearer to me that Naomi is guilty of taking out Jade Cargill. She has the story to support it of, I was making no headway on my own. I needed someone else's help to get ahead. I needed to take out someone who I had success with to get my own success. I think that is there for Naomi, and I think she needs a heel turn just about as much as anybody, Alex.
She's so sus right now. Yeah, yo, you can't even play it off, bro. We know you did something. Like, I would prefer it to be someone like a Charlotte Flair, because, I mean, that would mean you'd have two powerful women going after each other. You know what I'm saying? Like, that would be a great deal. And I think that Charlotte 100% has to carry the match, right? She would have to carry it. But I think it would be a great match between them two.
I don't think she would even have to carry, because I feel like Charlotte and Naomi had one of the best TV matches in women's wrestling history. I feel like...
Oh, no, I was talking about Charlotte and Jade. I apologize. Like, Jade.
Oh,
like,
Charlotte versus Jade. I'm sorry.
Like, to your point, if she were to be the one to attack Jade, yes, right, like, in any way, shape, or form, to get her out of the picture and to kind of have her to herself, right? Like you mentioned, to have a some type of feud with her, that would be great. I didn't mean
No, I understand Naomi, where you're,
yeah,
I'm picking up what you're putting down now. Yeah, I got you.
Thank you.
On that,
I was very heavy. I'm glad you're able to pick it up.
I do think took me a second. I think I know, okay, you're right about that. That eventual feud would be so good, and she'd probably turn on Bianca. And the one horsewoman that Bianca has not beat is Charlotte Flair. They've been wanting to tell that story. I feel like Charlotte stepping in right there would be so, so great. I also think when Charlotte comes back, she'll be face. I think she's more effective heel. Having a short run and then turning heel would create a really great moment for that. Charlotte has had great matches with Naomi before. She's had good stuff happening with Bayley. Everybody who was on the face side of that team, I feel like, would have been good immediate opponents for her. But we'll also see what happens with this transfer portal, because they might also say, she's one of the biggest stars in the world. We want her on Raw. So this might not be up to us there. But guys,
they should have an actual portal January 6th. I don't know if anyone knew, but that's when Raw moves to Netflix. They should 100% have an actual portal there where they have, like, the wrestlers just go through it and, like, they show up on the other side on Raw. That would be pretty dope.
That would be sick. If it was like sci-fi kids movie where it's like you go through it and then you're like, whoa, how did I get here? I'm into it. Guys, get in your super chats and your humper chats. Please leave a thumbs up on this video, and please do subscribe to Fightful Select. We have Fightful Select Awards voting open. You're going to want to hop on there. That is a voter subscription privilege. All the Ray Fanix drama you could ever want is over there on Fightful Select for you too. Not to be outdone by the Ricky Starks drama that was there the week before and the slight hiccup in the Willie Mack drama that got taken down because nobody between GCW and AEW knows what the hell they're talking about. So stay tuned to Fightful Select. More contract news coming. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of scoops coming out of Saturday night's main event, too. They put a lot of stock on that show. Let's talk about the main event of that show, because tonight's episode ended in a really, really fun way. You knew it was going to end like this. You knew we were going to get this promo and this brawl from Kevin Owens and Cody beating the ever-loving dog crap out of each other. I am Team Kevin Owens literally all the time. I've never been more Team Kevin Owens than this feud. I feel like he's so justified going into this. They've done a really good job of Kevin Owens being able to lay out the issues that he has with Cody Rhodes. This has the heat that nothing else in Cody's title reign has had. And I say Kevin Owens should win. They should hot potato it back to Cody at Royal Rumble. It could be a fun thing to buy our time to get there. Kevin Owens forever, and I love him so much. And he also did an interview where people were like, why do you cut promos in your car? And he was like, I have 9 million animals, I have kids, it's too loud in there, I cut promos in my car, deal with it. And I was like, good on you, KO, good on you. He also in an interview explained the reasons he doesn't like Cody Rhodes, and one of them was little kids are out there bleaching their hair and it's bad for them. Stop, they shouldn't be doing that, and that's Cody's fault. I love Kevin Owens. This promo at the end was great. The brawl was fantastic. What did you think about the way tonight's show ended? And how do you feel going into Saturday night's main event about this feud?
Okay, so your first part of the question is finally, it feels like Cody finally got something good going. They built it up really well. And so it just doesn't feel like it was kind of just put and together and thrown together. They have a history, they have friends in the same circles, you know, so he can you know, be tongue-in-cheek when he mentions something, which is great. Though now I'm gonna answer your second part of the question. I don't see really this title moving off of Cody. I think, like, right now, you know, they're making a ton of money off of Cody. They're making headway. They're, you know, he's literally, figuratively, and everything in between, like the face of the company. He makes that title that Gunther is running around with seem like it's nothing. It makes it seem like a mid-card title with the way that they put everything on the way on Cody, you know. So I do not see them moving this title. I would cancel Christmas on Saturday night. I will cancel it if they decide to go with Kevin Owens. I do think that it'll be a hell of a fight. And unfortunately, there's a side of me that feels there's going to be some hijinks coming on. You know?
It's always possible, especially with Randy Orton just kind of looming out there. We don't know what'll happen, but we will see. I don't think Cody loses it. I want Cody to lose. There is a rumor that there's going to be a major title change. I think Io Sky might beat Liv Morgan if there's actually going to be a major title change. Some people are saying the triple threat with Gunther, Damian, and Finn is going to be it.
Wow.
I don't know, man. I guess we'll have to watch and find out.
He's another one. Gunther, I don't feel like I think he's their face right now. I honestly, what would you do with Finn? Hot potato it back to someone else? And I don't know. I know that for Liv Morgan, for me, and it's not her, it's just that whole title reign has fallen so flat.
Yeah.
I have no emotional investment in it. Not even in, like, booing Dom, right? It's just dead to me. It's just gone too long. Unfortunately, this is what they were falling in before with the Judgment Day. It was kind of falling flat. Then it came back up and you're like, wow, they really did well. And now it's back down again to feeling flat, unfortunately, with what they're doing.
Yeah, I think they went to the Rhea well too many times and didn't throw it back on Rhea when they had it white hot. I think Liv could lose and then re-enter Rumble and it could get very interesting. It could get very interesting from there. But Rafael Garcia saying, I don't want to boo either, but I feel like Bianca is easier to boo if she turns heel rather than Naomi. What do you think? Well, I think the problem is the heel turn is centered around Jade being attacked. And if Jade was attacked, I don't think it's going to be by a partner that she's had success with. I loved Bianca's heel work in NXT. I thought she was so great. If I'm a business executive in WWE, I don't know if I'm turning her heel, because I would imagine the amount of cash that she brings in as a face.
She's another one. Yes.
Is a big, big deal. She's an incredible ambassador for the company as well.
Yes.
I would love it from the character perspective of, I think Bianca's a fantastic heel. So I would love for them to eventually lean into the EST in that way. But I think Naomi's going heel just based on the story. What about down the line, though, Alex? Do you want to see a Bianca heel turn?
Has she been anywhere like super heelish yet on the main roster?
I don't think on the main roster. Right? She was flirting in the tweener category,
yes.
But
yes, right, yeah. I would love to see a meaner, a downright, you know, sassy style like what you wore the other day, and you were being dick to everyone. Like, I want her to come out and do something like that. And it doesn't necessarily have to be the prototypical, I'm a woman and I'm going to act like an asshole now, right? I want it to be genuinely like she's better than everyone, right? Look at my
ass.
She's
abs. The EST.
Look at how like, tall I am.
She's the strongest. She's the fastest. She's the EST. Yeah. Like
she it's needs, sitting she needs right to there. She needs to lean into that so heavily that it's obnoxious. And like people want to just, you know, people are going to boo her, but you feel it like deep inside. Like, nah, man, like I want to boo you. Like, shut up. Let someone else come down here and shut you up for me. Like, that's going to be interesting because I'm down for that. I think that she'd be great at it, man.
I think so, too. She was great at it in NXT. With this much more experience behind her, I can only imagine it would get even better. But, guys, keep that support coming. Thank you so much for driving our show with your chats today a little bit. But let's talk about this quick DIY recap that we get that I really liked. Very simple and effective. They kind of talk about why they turned heel and how they won the titles. And Johnny Gargano says he lost in his hometown of Cleveland. And Ciampa says they got screwed out of a rematch. But they tried to be cool about it, and it didn't work. So basically, they switched up their attitude, and now they're two-time champs. I thought it was a really good justification. And this is the stuff in the quote-unquote new era that we're getting so much more of why I did what I did with clear motivations, rather than I'm just a completely different person now, which is all we got from the last 10, 15 years of the Vince era was, you're a bad guy, now you're the planet's champion, Bryan Danielson. That was an awesome run, but he wasn't suddenly an environmentalist, right? So, like, I don't love when people are just completely different people. This kind of nuance and the reasons for behaving certain ways is what pro wrestling's all about, right?
No, I agree. Yeah, 100%.
Good stuff. Any thoughts on this? It was simple but effective.
Yeah, I agree with you. Same thing.
Well, let's talk about how we opened the show with Jimmy Uso saying Big Jim didn't really get his, but he got his big toe taken out. He talks about being proud of his War Games team, talking about being proud of the OTC, his twin brother becoming one of the biggest stars in the game today. And he said, I'm even proud of Solo. I don't agree with the way he goes about business, but I'm proud of Solo, which I think is an interesting door to leave open. But he starts talking about his upcoming goals for 2025 and shouts out the Royal Rumble, the U.S. title, and says, hell, why wouldn't I even take a shot at the world title? And he says, nobody else from the War Games match is here. It's just him. And a new year is coming his way. This came across as engaging with some underlying corniness, which got stomped out of him by Drew McIntyre, who claymores the ever-living hell out of him. Great to see Drew here. He's another one that I think could benefit from the transfer portal if we're trying to get a WrestleMania program for him in order. But Nick Aldis breaks this up, and he wants to know why, because Nick Aldis knows how to keep his damn show in line.
Yeah, yeah.
He's how we opened the show.
I think there was some corniness to it, but that's just him. I think he's just a little bit of that goofball side. But overall, this is what I mentioned when we were speaking earlier. I think it's interesting how they keep things fresh with this storyline. And you just mentioned it. I mentioned it as well with the whole, like, you know, complimenting the family and where they're at now, regardless of how far they've come apart. They're still family, right? And because of that, he has to acknowledge the fact that each and every single one of them are a step further in their careers because of it, right? Because of all the steps that they've taken. So it's kind of cool to hear that, because, you know, in WWE, we weren't ever, the storytelling wasn't never going that way. You were completely ruining kayfabe if you were like to speak good about the people that you were fighting, the evil part of the wrestling match, right? So it was cool. I enjoyed it. What is Drew McIntyre doing? Is he just gonna claim more the shit out of everyone now? Like, is this his
thing? I hope so.
It seems like he's unhinged again. He's back to his unhinged character. If you remember, towards the middle of the year, he was just doing that. He was just claymoring everyone and everything in sight.
Yeah, rocks.
I would like to know where and why. Eventually, that'll get answered sooner than later, because that's how good WWE is when it comes to storytelling. Right now, I'm enjoying it. I don't know why he's doing it, but it's pretty funny.
Yeah, it kind of rolls.
It doesn't matter who it is. He's kicking the crap out of him.
I'm here to kick people. I love it. I'm wondering if he's going to go after everybody that was on CM Punk's side. I think that would be
real. I mean, do you go back to that well, though, with CM Punk and what's his face? Seth Rollins about to start kicking off the new year on January 6th on the premiere of Raw on Netflix?
It could be a thing where he's targeting those people, but it's because he feels that they shook out unfairly or whatever. Like, it doesn't have to be so Punk-focused. It can be Drew-focused.
True.
But I wouldn't hate it. I wouldn't hate it. More
do we bring
chats
back
about
bracelet?
My outfits. No.
Are you sure?
I'm so sure. I've never been more sure of anything in my life. He ate the beads. There's nothing to talk about with that. But Bad Robot 2342. Colin plays out here saying Kate's outfit says, I go to ski slopes and make people race downhill to save animal shelters that my father is going to demolish to build a mini mall. That is very close to a South Park episode plot, but it was the teen center, if you remember.
From what it sounds like, Kate sounds like she should have been on the new set of I Know What You Did Last Summer as one of those actresses in the background that was just like, ew, you're so fetch or whatever. I don't know. What they say now.
You're so fetch. I think that's been out for like 15 years, but that's okay.
Let's not talk about that.
We're old. It's fine. But let's get back to this episode of SmackDown, guys. We're coming down the home stretch. We've changed the formats of these to be less about going chronologically and to kind of run through the biggest highlights and shake everything out that way.
This
so
rocks now, Kate. You did a great job with this.
Thank you. Yeah, it's been fun. I think it's more engaging for the viewers, and it keeps the chats a little bit more lively too. So
I do gotta say too, by the way, I was trying to hit up Kate, not like that, but I was just like, hey, I work in this business, but I also don't want to step on Kate's toes because she leads the ship. I'm just making sure that the floor is not wet by mopping it. So I'm like, yo, can we try these little different things? And I mean, here we are.
Hell yeah, we were both kind of on the same page, I think, about that.
Yeah, you came to me and you were like, actually, I was thinking the same thing. I was like, wow, I mean, that's pretty cool. Here we are almost 3 years into the show together, and it's rocking and rolling.
On the same page. Synergy. On the same page, synergy. Watch out, Johnny Gargano and Ciampa. We're coming for your tag team titles with how together we are.
Wow, I would love that.
No Polynesian with a Samoan history. Samoan family history is safe from Drew. Just to be safe, if I was Dakota Kai, I would watch my back. I am so bummed that Bronson Reed got taken out. Thanks for the bits here, Cyclops as well. He was on such a roll, but it did look like he made it through surgery. So that is good. Much love and healing.
That's a big man.
Him.
That's a really big dude. He needs to stay off his feet. And I don't mean that in a derogatory way. I mean, like, he is a big man. Okay. So a man like that who just completely destroyed and shattered every bone in his foot needs to be like chilling on a hammock right now. Please get well soon, because we want you back.
Yeah, especially like this time of year. Like, lay low. Hopefully you're back for some of the big pay-per-views that are on the way. But let's also talk about this LA Knight bloodline picture. He makes fun of the name of the Ulafala and says he didn't want any part of the bloodline. He didn't want the Ulafala. He didn't want championships that they were dealing with at the time. He wanted none of that. He didn't want to be in the War Games match.
Mm-hmm.
Yet here we are. The bloodline is coming after him anyway. And we do get this match between LA Knight and Solo Sikoa. But this ends in a DQ because, of course, the Dunned Numbers game catches up. You got Tama Tonga out there and Jacob Fatu out there causing mayhem. But a pissed off Jacob Fatu really doing the dirty work in all of this. Really, really good stuff from him. It is getting a little lather, rinse, repeat, but it's so much easier for me to stomach these interference storylines when, one, they make sense, because a lot of times they just made no sense, and two, there's not 74 of them on the show. Like, that definitely helps out here. What did you think of what we got here, and where does this go? Is it Solo versus LA Knight? Is it LA Knight versus everybody in this? What do we think is the case here?
I don't want to seem like a negative Nancy, but I don't even
you could be a negative word. Alex.
Yeah. I want to be a negative Alex right now. You know, I enjoy LA Knight, but
yeah,
ever since, oh my God, the voice of God.
Speaking of interference and run-ins.
You know what? We've had a pretty good clean SmackDown, and we had to ruin it.
There we go.
We just had a run-in.
I just want to say... Go ahead, sorry.
No, you, please. Go ahead. You're in here.
I'm very happy about Misha and Chelsea, despite...
As are we.
Despite, you know, Mia and I joshing each other on Twitter, I'm just very happy for these women who got cut and came back to WWE and became very successful. Chelsea with her character work, Mia with just working her ass off in the ring. Like, I feel like she improved drastically from her last run. Not that I saw a lot of her wrestling in WWE her last run, but it just makes me very, very happy. I'll tell you what I'm not happy about is the fact that they booked Shaza McKenzie back-to-back nights. However, my close personal friend Deonna Purrazzo did whip that ass.
Fair.
I got here's a funny story. Last night I got a message from someone who is on the AEW roster, and it said knock knock. I said, "Who's there?" And it was a picture of that person and Shaza flipping me off.
Did Deonna win with a drop toe hold?
I wish she did. 2LT Photo said Shaza wrestling Deonna was awesome. Well, she's got Toni Storm tomorrow.
Wowzers.
Which makes me very, very happy. But, I mean, this is like a World Series of, yeah, my friends versus my ops here. Deonna won.
Yeah.
If Chelsea can win tomorrow, we're up 2-0. I had somebody on the Fightful Select Q&A say, oh, Mia Yim gets a Survivor Series team with Shelton Benjamin, Keith Lee, and Shaza. Who do you pick? And I'm like, well, first off, Shelton will turn on her. So that would
obviously
be helpful.
Yeah. But
obviously, Chelsea's in there too. But we had a bunch of news today on FightfulSelect.com. It's going to be a contract news month, guys. We're going to have a lot of that on FightfulSelect.com, the best $5 in the business. I'm here to shill some stuff there. We had not only this week's rundown, we got a scoops thread tomorrow on tonight's SmackDown. We're going to have the rundown of Saturday night's main event. We've got next week's rundown and scoops. And Saturday night, right after Saturday night's main event, It's the Fightful Awards voting. I am so excited about it. I'm putting together the post for it like imminently. Actually, I'm about to copy over a bunch of ad reads and stuff into the awards voting thing, but lots of cool stuff there. I'm so happy. We saw some of the early voting. There were some shockers. There were some based on like the pre-voting that we saw where I was just trying to get an idea because, little spoiler, Kate's lovely uncle is hand making our awards, which
damn
little do you all know it's going to be construction paper and paper mache.
Yeah, no, it's going to be,
but there were some that I was just like, no, really? And like good surprise, like very pleasantly surprised. A lot of the Joshi stuff was doing very good in the voting. I was very happy to see that as well, but that voting goes up at 10 p.m. Eastern. Very excited about that. We have 20 interviews in the can right now.
I love
that. Just a ton that will be dropping over really up until Royal Rumble. But this week, I dropped one with Tony Khan. Weirdos said that I was disrespecting Tony Khan for looking off. Here's a little fun detail. It's because Big Justice was trying to man my camera at that point. That's what it was. I looked over. I was like, is that Big Justice walking towards my camera or AJ? Which one is it? Yeah, Big Justice. The little kid. The little kid. So I was watching his mom wrangle Justice. Him. Lovely family, those people. But I now hold on. Boris says, Sean, Grace is a big Tessa supporter. Why is she lying to you now? No, she wasn't. Where'd you get this from? Where are you pretending to get this from? Jordan spoke out about this to people directly. You think I got this story from Jordan Grace? You think Jordan Grace cracked the code on this story here? What the hell are you doing, man? What are you doing, man?
People really like to make things up. You think
that it's just a coincidence that they kept it away from everybody? You think that there might be a reason why they deemed it necessary to keep this room or this story away from everybody? I got told about it, hinted about it 2 weeks ago, and I didn't even bother checking into it for another week because I was like, "There's no way that'll happen." Then I heard about it Wednesday, and I was like, really? No. And it was from an AEW person, and then a WWE person. And I was like, oh, my God. Can't believe it.
There's a lot of women's talent out there right now, and that is certainly a choice.
Whole bunch of it.
Signed. Yeah.
I mean, they have not signed Maggie Lee yet. She is sitting there.
Maggie Lee, chilling. J-Rod. Becca.
Yeah, Maggie Lee, J-Rod, Eric Ademia is out there, Tootie Lynn, Amira, Maya World, Brittany Brooks just came back, Aaliyah Gray is a free agent. Gosh, man, like there's a ton of people out there.
It is. There's a lot to choose. And I think they talked about this extensively on In the Weeds earlier, but like the idea that Tessa is going to be the same – provide the same value as Jordan Grace. Like if the assumption is Jordan Grace is leaving and Tessa is going to be the replacement for her, I don't think that's a one-to-one substitute either.
And I got asked by a person that repped her years ago, what does she need to do? And I said, apologize immediately for what she did and who she was bad to, because listen, in the wrestling world, if that many people are willing to stake their reputation on that and say that type of thing, there's clearly an issue. Maybe she didn't recognize it, but there's no way she can ignore it now. The reality is, despite the terrible things that she said, had she just immediately apologized, she would be a multiple-time WWE world champion by this point.
In 2022, it was such a crazy year that this didn't really register, but one of the things that stuck out to me in that crazy year between MJF not getting on a plane and Brawl Out and Mercedes and Naomi leaving and all these things was that WOW was supposed to be the Tessa Blanchard rehab project, And she got her butt kicked out of that because of her behavior. So,
Covered that story. I covered that story extensively. I had the inside track on the WoW rebirth for months before. I was giving names to a person that was helping out with WoW for who they should sign. And originally, WoW was not supposed to be David McClane's 34th GLOW reboot, which, you know, David McClane hasn't figured it out yet. The reason why they made a GLOW TV show is because it's like, can you believe this dumbass idea actually worked for a few years? Now women's wrestling has far, far evolved beyond that. And that's not me disrespecting any of the wonderful competitors and actresses they have hired for that show. But originally, that was going to be a legitimate women's alternative. The way I was talking with somebody about it today, and I said it would be like looking at a Dreamwave Uprising show on TV. And at that time, there was this influx of women's talent that were free agents because of all the releases and the cuts and all that. At some point, the person who had been asking me for names just said, well, they're just signing Tessa, so they don't expect that a lot of other people are going to want to get there. And then they basically hired AJ Lee as a mascot. That's what she was. She was an announcer mascot. And they were, I say mascot as in they wanted you to be like, oh, this is where AJ Lee is, and make you think maybe she would wrestle there when that was never the idea. So then it became the Tessa Blanchard Rehabilitation Project. And then almost immediately I was getting anonymous emails from the roster talking about her bullying people, and then she was gone. And imagine how bad it had to be for them to be like, you know who we're going to hitch our wagon to? A 47-year-old woman who has never wrestled anywhere but WoW in the 10 years that she's wrestled there. All due respect to her. I don't get it. Sorry to keep on the rant.
No, I had reported
actually a favorable story about her. She helped out somebody that I can't remember what happened. I feel like he got hit by a car or had a seizure or something, and she helped him. And she, I think it was her publicist that she said, well, doesn't he hate me? And I'm like, all I do is report the news fairly. If the news fairly reflects a lot of really rough things that you've said and did, well, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But, there were a lot of people pissed off today. There certainly were. So this is her shot. This is her chance. And if she ever thinks she's getting into WWE without doing a Sports Illustrated interview where she talks about the things that got her exiled, well, she's wrong. It's what they will have her do.
Yeah, there was an unfortunate thing where she had to like half apologized in this too and then denied having ever done it. Like, you can't half apologize for something you've never done. This has been every step of the way. There hasn't been any sort of sincere, just a sincere apology. Nothing that read across as anything authentic that she showed remorse for any of her behavior. But while you're here, and while we were talking about the Fightful Awards a minute ago, we did get this chat from Meet Norvis, who said, honestly, outside of Braun and Bronson, 24 wasn't a meaty year. There was a lot of meat that was in the freezer there. We had some that was on the shelf for a bit. Wardlow still there. Hobbs was out for a while. But 2025
felt like the AEW meat division spoiled.
It did. Meat requesting to be released, which,
yeah,
as a vegan, whatever. But 2025 will be the year.
I'll try to find out when the meat expires. I'll do my best.
Please do. Please do. But 2025 will be the year of meat, and there will be a Fightful Award category next year. The Meat Award being...
We might be able to work in a fun one. It depends.
It's got to be a stronger year of contention.
I want to address this because he said something incorrect earlier. He said, but no one from TNA Impact supported Tessa. I heard Moose, Grace, Ego, and a few others just asking, bro. No, you weren't just asking. You straight up source guest made up something, all that. No, Jordan did not support her. Moose and Tessa have remained friends. Yeah. Yeah. And somebody says, I love Hollywood Haley J. I think that she's phenomenal, and she's actually very good on WoW as a completely different character. So
Shaza Wrestling, Deanna was awesome. I think we read that one already, but hi, I'm literally watching Scripts right now. love you. Well, we love you too. We love you too. Lots going on at Fightful Select. Lots more contract news. I tried to tell you earlier. If you didn't believe me, Sean's here to tell you.
We got a ton, but I'm heading out, guys.
Check Sean out with Andrew Bedalla tomorrow on the Saturday night's main event post show.
Hey, how about this? Holiday stream tomorrow, 8 p.m., Saturday night's main event watch along. Tune in, submit your super chats and humper chats. All the proceeds are going to our wonderful staff that does not include me and Jimmy. It goes to the Christmas bonuses for our wonderful staff. Also, I have turned on subscriptions on my Twitter X. I drop a little bit of notes, additional context, stuff like that. I know that sometimes my Twitter can be exhausting. Promise that's going to get better too, my friends, but I am on Blue Sky.
Goodbye. There you go. Thanks, Sean, for stopping by. Do catch him and Drew Bedalla. It's a rough season for Jets fans, man. Be nice to him. Be nice to him. But we were just kind of coming to the end of our show here a little bit, Alex. We had a couple more things to go over. We were talking about LA Knight versus Solo Sikoa before we were so rudely interrupted by Sean Ross. But
can't believe it.
What did you think of we were talking about that DQ ending, I believe, before Sean came in.
Yeah, so I'm a little bored with LA Knight now. I know I don't know. Maybe the storytelling has just gotten down for me or whatever, but I guess now they're going to have the Bullet Line and him feud in a way. We saw Andrade and come in, and it's just like, what are we doing? I don't know. I'm a little bit jacked up when it comes to what they're doing with these three gentlemen. So I'm bored with it, basically. I don't want to piss anyone off, but that's basically the word that I'm going to use.
Well, it's interesting and not in a good way. Not in a fun way.
Right.
That they're targeting LA Knight.
Mean, but, you know.
No, that they're targeting LA Knight after he's dropped the title. Like, it kind of feels like this would have made more sense if they were properly targeting him while they had the title, because the Bloodline should be going after gold, I feel like. But let's bring on Alex Pawlowski and our list of guests here today for the Sour Fower. I didn't see the Collision spoilers, but everyone was saying you're probably more sour about that than you are about SmackDown today.
You know how something will put you in a bad mood? And then things will happen that wouldn't otherwise have bothered you that much, but because you're already in the bad mood, everything exponentially
super irks.
Adds yep. to it. That was me tonight. So I may or may not have yelled a lot on the Sour Crafts episode. I wasn't in a good place. I just think it's a fan. Anytime you have the opportunity to take what many people believe is a candidate to be a future top guy for your company, and then have him take a squash loss to somebody whose peak in the company was 5 years ago, and does not seem like he is ever going to reach that peak again, who absolutely does not need the rub. I think you got to do it. And if you see the spoilers for next week, you got to do it twice in a row. You absolutely need to do it 2 weeks in a row to that future candidate to be a future top guy. Anytime it's on the table, you got to reach for it, man.
Well, Alex, right, I think what happened is it worked so well with Giovanni Vinci. So you might as well.
Well, I don't think that Giovanni Vinci was ever a candidate to be a top guy in the company.
No, but I mean, just the idea of squashing him was it went so well. It went so well.
Yeah, no, it's fine. That's a choice. Is what that was, not one sure I would have made. Also, remember how I was like, listen, I'm totally fine with Shinsuke Nakamura coming back from 5 months off out of nowhere and taking the U.S. title from LA Knight. If they have the right follow-up, which is that LA Knight realizes maybe he got a little bit too cocky for himself and Shinsuke Nakamura found a hole in his armor and he tries to get the title back but fails, and now he starts second-guessing himself and he builds himself back up over a month to get another shot, maybe at the Rumble, maybe afterwards, maybe at an Elimination Chamber, and he wins that back and then takes it into maybe if that is, if you see a singularly focused LA Knight trying to change some things about himself and make himself maybe a little less flash, a little more substance. And because that the possibility of that was right in front of them, I thought there was an opportunity and a chance they might actually grab for the thing that was right there. Instead, no, he's just going to team with Andrade and Apollo Crews against the New Bloodline for a bit. And seem to have no real, like, I don't know. Shinsuke Nakamura's little vignette.
We were actually just about to talk about that. So there you go.
I feel like that seems like he's like, yes, I took the thing he did not deserve, and he was just the beginning. Now I'm going to be the champion for a while. And I feel like they're kind of moving beyond it with the whole transfer portal. It feels to me like there's a real possibility that Nakamura just ends up on a different show than LA Knight.
That's possible.
And they just throw all that away. So we'll see.
We will. But it was a cool vignette. They always do cool stuff with the vignettes for him.
The vignettes are great. And he's the champion now. So right now, they're actually backing it up. When he starts taking like random non-title pinfall losses, then maybe they won't be backing it up anymore. So
that is true. Hey, you know what? I'm so glad that you said that, because Alex, sometimes you need somebody to back you up when we're talking about your internet connection.
Oh,
sometimes you need a little security backing you up. And my God, if that's not NordVPN, I don't know who it would be, but they are the presents sponsor for the Fightful Awards. They've expanded doing business with us. So expand how you view VPNs through this ad from them.
I have long talked with you guys about the content that you can access with NordVPN.com/Fightful, but it doesn't just stop at pro wrestling. You can get MMA and boxing pay-per-views at a much more affordable price when you change your virtual location with just one click using NordVPN.com/Fightful. It doesn't stop there either. Football games. Man, if you want to check out those out-of-market football games, you don't have to spend hundreds and hundreds of dollars. You can get NordVPN.com/Fightful and just change your virtual location. How about baseball games? They make it harder than ever to actually watch baseball games. It is a task, not with NordVPN.com/Fightful. They got everything you need, in addition to all the threat protection and security that comes with NordVPN. But if you want that content, NordVPN.com/Fightful is right for you.
How about my segues? Huh?
I mean, nailed it. No notes. That was as smooth as butter.
Mm. Hey, you know what else is as smooth as butter, Alex?
Whoa.
What's that?
My segue into talking about FightfulSelect.com right now, because that's what we're going to be reviewing. Okay. Tomorrow's PLE for Saturday night's main event.
Yeah,
it wasn't actually that smooth, but we were back there earlier today talking about Chuck Norris and Hulk Hogan. So
we were, and the greatest rap song about basketball in history.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
You can solve gang violence with basketball and bad rap songs.
Wow.
Jesus.
And empty pizza boxes and reverse psychology on 9-year-olds.
There it is. What are we talking about? Subscribe to FightfulSelect.com and go watch our Walker Texas Ranger review.
Yeah.
But yeah, Alex.
I guess that's it.
I'm sorry that Collision let you down.
Yeah.
Before we even watched it.
Yep. You know what also is going to let me down over the next 6 months? The booking of the women's US title. So that is going to be the most fun.
Well, let's let Chelsea win it first.
And what about how they have booked her over the last 6 months tells you they're going to book her well as champion for the next 6 months?
Well, a couple of things. One, she actually beat Bayley convincingly today. And two, Bailey, I think there's...
Bailey was dumb enough to do an elbow drop to the outside to Chelsea's tag team partner. That's why she beat Bailey, because Bailey was booked to be dumb.
So they'll book people dumb against Chelsea. That's your point. And two, I think there's a very easy story there with Piper Niven. So there you go.
All right. Fine. That's... Bailey should have won the tournament. There's no alternative to me. Bailey should have won the tournament.
Really? 100%.
Yeah.
No.
I think that I am a big proponent of you script this. So the first ever mid-card, because the first one is going to be this one, not the Intercontinental title. The first ever mid-card women's champion in WWE history should be a cinch lock all-time Hall of Famer. To start the legacy strong. And I think they would book Bailey better as a U.S. women's champion than they will with Chelsea Green, who will be booked. Chelsea Green's amazing. They're never once going to let her wrestle as good as she can. They're always going to have her be a chicken-ass heel who actively tries to get out of matches. And I have no interest in watching any of that. I love Chelsea Green. Book Chelsea Green well, and I love her reign. There's zero chance they'll book her reign well, and so I already hate it. That's how my brain works. I can't stop it.
Well, if you want to see more preemptive hatred, watch me and Alex every Monday on Fightful Select, and you can catch us reviewing Saturday night's main event where Kevin Owens should win.
Send a photo. I hope Alex is wrong. I actively hope I am wrong most days. I hope I am wrong most days. I wish I couldn't. But anyway, goodbye. I'm going to leave you all here to be less miserable than me.
We appreciate your misery, and we will revisit it tomorrow on Fightful Select.
Bye!
We are actually just about done here as well. We were doing so well until all of our interruptions, but they are welcome interruptions. We love Sean and Alex stopping by here.
Friday night, baby.
Friday night, that's what we do, but not a ton more to talk about. We just got that Saturday night's main event video package. So instead of kind of reviewing that, because it just was what it was, but do you have any predictions for tomorrow, either match base, or do you think there's going to be any returns or debuts? We had kind of teased possibly Charlotte. I think that would be such a fun shout. I don't know if she's ready, but what are your thoughts for this throwback card?
I don't know. I think you're just gonna, you know, obviously, you know, WWE loves to bring back their old peeps, so we'll probably see a lot of you know, ringside fillers, I like to call them. You'll probably, if a Charlotte is around, it'll be probably be something quick. I don't think it'll be any physicality. But I'm probably most likely going to catch the show either on a highlight or maybe just kind of just skim through it after it airs. Yeah, I'm not really that excited for it. I know it's going to be cool and whatnot, but it didn't pique my interest yet. It's just because I don't know what it is. It's just, it really didn't like tickle my fancy. I'm
so excited for it. I think there's actually some, I'm more excited for this than Survivor Series, honestly. Yeah, it probably is the timing of Survivor Series and this being so close together.
Yes.
But I'm excited for,
yeah,
I'm excited for the US finals. I'm excited for KO and Cody. The Gunther triple threat, I could take or leave just because it feels very predictable. Yeah.
I'm excited for, obviously. I will never not be excited for the women. Outside of that, it's just okay.
I get to see Kevin Owens fight, so I'm excited. But we hope you're excited too. Tune in to Fightful Select if you want to see me and Alex Pulowski review it, but also Sean and Andrew Baidala on the main channel tomorrow. Collision review will also be happening, so stay tuned for those. Guys, have a safe and wonderful wrestling weekend. We'll see you next week.
If you like bacon, you'll love Oscar Mayer Thick Cut Bacon. It's smoked for 12 hours. That's a really long time. So for that delicious, smoky flavor, keep it Oscar. It's time for that once-a-year event, Truck Week, where you save big on America's biggest trucks, including the 12-ton, 12-liter, 12 hours of Oscar Mayer smoking thick-cut bacon. For half the day, they're still smoking that bacon. If you're driven by your love of smoky thick-cut bacon, keep it Oscar.